Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Thursday at 6 o'clock. I see Frank's in the chat room. Hello, Frank. Waiting for Bill. His brother didn't go to the shop today, so he's running about 10 or 15 minutes late. So, Frank's got some stuff to talk about. And let me get through just one thing here, and then we'll bring Frank on. And thanks for joining us, Frank. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to play your songs and... anybody asks any questions, they call in and talk to Frank. But I got something today in the mail. And every once in a while, Bill and I get approached by people to help them with their charity. So the first question I ask is how much of the money goes to the charity? Because by law, they're only supposed to give 5%. And... this is an analysis by the Center for Investigative Reporting, and the newspaper identifies, it happens to be the Tampa Bay Times out of Florida, St. Petersburg, Florida. But this story is by Mitch Lipka, and he shared this with me 5 hours ago. But when you give money to a charity, it's reasonable to expect that the money will go well to the charity, but there's an entire industry of charities that are masterful at raising money. But overwhelmingly, it goes to the paid companies that do the fundraising. The Center for Investigative Reporting in St. Petersburg, Florida, Tampa Bay Times, examined the tax records of 6,000 charities that use paid fundraisers and identified the 50 worst in America. None of the 50, which combined paid solicitors nearly $1 billion of $1.3 billion raised over the past decade, gave more than 11 cents on the dollar to those who were supposed to benefit the investigation found. Some cases, such as the Cancer Fund of America, you donate $20, less than 20 cents of that $20 of your contribution actually went to the organization's cause. Among the 50 worst charities, the average amount that went to the cause itself was about 4 cents of every dollar donated. Some of these charities have been flagged before, an indication that even afterward it has gotten out about how they do business. Many consumers aren't aware that practically none of the donation is being used in a charitable way. Typically, charity rating organizations want to see fundraising costs no higher than 35%. And many major charities are far below the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and Make-A-Wish Foundation of America, spend 19% and 15% respectively on fundraising, according to the data published by the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance. Many of the charities that poured money from donors into the bank accounts of for-profit solicitation companies have names that sound familiar to respected national charities and typically have easy-to-support causes as part of their names, including breast cancer, firefighters, and children's cancer. Here are the 10 worst charities in America from the list compiled by the Center for Investigative Reporting and the Tampa Bay Times, along with the percentage of money raised that went to the supposed cause. Kids Wish Network, 2.5%. Cancer Fund of America, 0.9%. Children's Wish Foundation International, 10.8%. American Breast Cancer Foundation, 5.3%. Firefighters Charitable Foundation, 8.4%. Breast Cancer Relief Foundation, 2.2%. International Union of Police Associations, 0.05%. Figures. National Veterans Service Fund, 7.8%. American Association of State Troopers, 8.6%. Well, in the tattoos, police departments, state troopers, and International Union of Police Associations. They're in the top 10 for using least. Children's Cancer Fund of America, 5.3%. These charities were based, ranked based on how much money they spent on solicitors. Kids Wish Network paid about $110 million of $128 million raised through fundraisers, the report said. Groups like these tend to rely on phone solicitations to collect donations. Some are a little more than fronts for the companies that raise the money. Every time a consumer makes a donation to the charity, the bulk of it stays with the company that made the pitch. Here's some tips to avoid donating to for-profit telephone solicitation operations when intentions for support a charity. Don't make a donation on a call from a fundraiser. A legitimate charity will be more than happy to accept a donation on your time frame if it means you feel comfortable with, whether it's by mailing a check or using your credit card online. If you're interested in a charity, take the time to find out how it plans to spend the donated money. Research the charity before you donate. Using charity evaluation sites including GuideStar, the Better Business Wide Giving Alliance, and Charity Navigator. Use the internet to see what other people have said about the charity. And this is a short video, so let me play that video.
Salvation Army is going to go to the programs and services to homelessness, needy children, you know, the poverty, to help those in need in our community.
Americans are quick to open their wallets for those in need. That makes us generous, but it also makes us vulnerable. Because some scam artists will set up a charity with a name that sounds like a real one. Think you'd never fall for that? With help from the Salvation Army, we set up this fake charity outside of Kmart to see if anyone would catch it. Watch what happens. Not a single person noticed the sign. Of course, this is a silly example, but it does prove a point. People will donate to fake charities, and in fact, they do it all the time. Years ago, I started noticing collection boxes in hardware stores and things like that in my neighborhood, collecting money for the orphans of 9/11. So I thought, just for the heck of it, I'd give them a call. Turns out it's real charity. I called them on the phone, but you know what? They don't use collection boxes, and they don't even collect money at all in my state. Someone had just ripped off their logo, put collection boxes out, and they've been emptying them for months. Want to avoid fake charities? Avoid giving money, even change, at street corners or to people on your porch or any other way that's careless. Check out charities before you give them money, and when in doubt, just donate to headquarters. Donate to your local Salvation Army bell ringer? Absolutely not! You certainly should. Just make sure who you're donating to is actually the Salvation Army. Want some tips to check out charities? They're waiting right here at MoneyTalksNews.com. I'm Stacey Johnson.
Hello,
Stacey. About damn time.
Oh, sorry about that, but I needed to do that first because, I got frosted today. I got approached by some people who wanted the money for the cancer fund.
Oh, Jesus.
And I couldn't get any answers. And basically, I just started hollering when they were out there with the thing trying to collect from everybody coming out from work.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a happy place for them.
Oh, you're so full of sunshine sometimes.
You know, hey, that's a real, Bill and I got burned one time, and that's a real bad thing.
No, I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got a friend of mine who's 27 years old. He just had bone marrow transplants and everything for cancer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I hate according- you because- I mean, I'm proud of my son's karate group because they raised money for a cancer organization around here, but they gave 100% of the proceeds that they raised at the school to the foundation. Now, whether or not how much the foundation takes a cut, I don't know, you know, but the school gave everything, so that was pretty cool.
That's why I say whenever you're going to do that, always do your homework and call the court. If they have a corporate office, call them and find out, because you just heard, I've seen Here in California, I seen that fucking bucket in a store in a 7-Eleven for the orphans and 9/11.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so when I go back to that 7-Eleven and if that thing's still on the counter, I'm going to tell the guy that owns the store it's a fucking scam.
Huh.
But you remember Frank Falangi?
Yeah, I have him on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's on the horn. He's got some new stuff coming out, and he sent me some songs.
Nice.
So let me play this one real quick, and then we'll bring Frank on. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
This one's called "I Am Ready."
I only heard bits and pieces of it because it was like faded in and out, I wasn't getting very good reception on it.
I think they're jacking with us a little bit, but let me bring Frank on and we'll see what he's got to say on his updates.
Cool.
Hello, Frank.
Hey, what's going on there?
Not much. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Rocking and rolling.
I see you're pretty busy.
Yeah, man, I've got a radio tour thing going on here. I've been doing tons of interviews every day and about to hit some gigs here during the weekend.
Good. Up in New York, or you're out of state yet?
Yeah, I'm in New York right now. Tomorrow I'm actually going to hit up a Macy's and play. And tomorrow night, it's actually a double gig. Tomorrow night I'm playing somewhere else as well. And then I have a whole bunch of other interviews and things. And so I've been calling around and driving to some places, and it's been pretty fun so far.
Good. Good. How's the crowd?
It's good. You know, some of the gigs are like, you know, I still do those gigs where you do 3-hour cover song sets, you know.
Uh-huh.
But usually, I mean, all the restaurants are pretty packed, so you're playing to a packed crowd, but you know, sometimes, like, as it gets later, you know, you just play to all the drunks, and they're like, we just want a drink. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, yeah. I see him regularly. It's like, hey, get the one with the big tits, you know.
You know that song? Yeah, play
yeah.
that song.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't know it, they'll like, kill you.
Yeah.
So.
Or it's like, it goes like this, dot, dot, dot. You know, yeah, I've seen that. Too.
Yeah, you didn't play it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Stacey, you got any questions for Frank?
No, not at all.
Nothing. Wow.
Well, I really wanted to hear the song, but it wasn't coming through clear.
I'll
but
play
what I did
I'll...
hear... sounded really good.
I'll play another one. The next
All
one
right, cool.
in the rotation they gave me, this one's called...
By the way,
by the way,
Boston 2, Chicago 1. Go Bruins!
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, what happened last night?
I don't want to discuss last night. There's still 3 more games.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a bet with Hermes.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. He never bets. I talked him into a bet. If I lose, I got to buy him an iron. But,
oh, my God.
Frank, so how did you come up with this I Am Ready? And then we'll play Turn It All Around.
Well, basically, I Am Ready was a single that I made last year. And at the time, you know, I wanted to write a song that, I've said this a lot. I wanted to write a song that basically the way I felt, you know, the way things were going, maybe. So I'm like, you know what? I feel, because I just finished my last EP, and I was like, you know what? I feel ready, and I'm like, I want to write a song that leads me to a new direction, new sound, and, you know, comes across as being I Am Ready. So I thought it was a perfect title for it, and then, you know, led into this new EP. And new EP has 5 tracks plus 1 bonus track on it. Came out Tuesday, and it's on like CD Baby and Amazon. It'll be on iTunes soon, but you know sometimes they take a little longer to deliver to all these places. And really good response so far. I can't believe it. I mean, everyone. It's funny you're actually playing Turn Around to All Around because I'm like, you know. I'd love to. I haven't heard that one yet. Everyone's been playing "Boo Hoo" lately. They can't get enough of it. So I was like, "Geez, this is pretty cool."
What would you rather have me do? Turn It All Around or "Boo Hoo"?
Let's do "Boo Hoo."
Okay.
It's a rock mixed with country, mixed with some other stuff in there.
Okay. Yeah, it's taking a little bit to get to it, but so far so cool. We had a few visitors in the beginning, but they're gone now. So, but this is "Boo Hoo" by Frank Belangi.
Mm-hmm.
like that one too.
Hey, what'd you think of that one?
I didn't hear much of it again.
Really?
It just kept going in and out, in and out.
I don't know what's going on. But so far, you're the only one that says they can't hear it. Everybody else said they can hear it.
Well, that's okay then. As long as everybody else is hearing it, you know, that works.
That's true too. Let me see. We got somebody who might have some questions. 978.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Pete.
How you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, Frank.
Good. You got any questions for Frank, Pete?
Well, no, not really any questions. I just, when I first met Frank, he worked on a project with me for a movie I was doing, a documentary. And there was a song in the documentary called Remembrance. And you should play that. Like, Frank's style is, everybody thinks Frank's style is just like, you know, hardcore, you know. But this song, Remembrance, it was in my documentary. It was completely opposite of that. And it just, that's my favorite song, Frank. That's the point I'm trying to get across here. Remembrance is my favorite Frank Colangi song. Not because it was in my movie. I just like that style. And it's
cool.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, that's why I do songs like that. Like, I like both sides of the coin. You know, I like the real heavy stuff, and I like to kind of just sit back and relax and kind of do a flowing ballad-type song. And if you like that one, you might like Last Wish, or you might even like Frozen, because they're a little bit more on the long lines of that song.
It just
but,
blew me away that you know, when I first heard that, and it ended up in my documentary, that is a guy that's, you know, jams, you know, and the people love him, but he can also do a softer side, like Remembrance, you know. And, yeah, you get some talent there, kid.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, man. This new EP is just, it's blowing me away as far as, like, all the work and stuff we did it, and I can't believe the way it sounds and stuff. It's just, it's, to me, it's, what I'm working on now is, it's ready to go. You know, I'm ready to lift off here, you know.
Do you think you'll do a lot, you think you'll do any more of the softer stuff like Remembrance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this record kind of, I didn't purposely do it, so it turned out a little heavier than the other ones. It just kind of what I wanted to do for each song, and that's how it came out. Yeah, I mean, Frozen, if you heard that one, I mean, that's kind of, it's a full band kind of version of Remembrance in a way. And but I'll probably do, you know, something like Remembrance, too, in the future again for, if I ever make a full record, or maybe I'll redo Remembrance.
That's a great song, man. That is a great song. So where's Bill?
Yeah, I hear Bill coming down the hill. But, no, and everything that I get from you, Frank, I like. The ones you sent me today, I'm going to burn a CD.
Awesome. Yeah, oh, yeah. Spread that stuff
It might be on the iTunes, or the iPod, rather, bike, so when I listen to the music when I'm riding. But I didn't say that.
Oh, that's perfect. I listened to it. I burned a CD in the car when I was driving. I was listening to it. I had the windows down, and you know, you stop at traffic lights and stuff, and you got the windows down and blaring it. It's like, people are probably like, who the heck is that?
Yeah, you do that out here. You do that out here in the town I live in. They want to pull you over and tear your radio out of the dashboard. Yeah, they're fucked up over here, man.
You're like, but it's my song, you know. It's my song. Got to rock out to it.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that they used to fine you for loud music.
Really?
And then the same guys that do that, drive the same shit or whatever we have, they do the same thing. But they'll give you a ticket for it.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they harass people around here every once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's the kids with the rap music stuff go by, and that's all you hear is the bass and the subwoofer going off, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of what they, that's kind of what draws the attention out here. But lately, it's loud music and loud pipes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My two favorite words are, where's the meter?
Hey, man, I was surprised you weren't up here for Americade weekend up in the Adirondacks here. Everybody, there's famous actors and everybody that comes up here. And just a weekend full of motorcycles and stuff, you know.
The only problem with that is I'm keeping America's force at sea. That's what I do every day. I work on a Navy ship.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I work in the Navy ships alone, so sometimes I get the day off, sometimes I don't.
Yep. Well, you know, I know it's been a little while. I've been really busy, and I try to call in, see what's going on with you guys a lot, and as much as I can, anyway.
Yeah, today was the 10 worst charities.
Yeah, you said something about 5%. They're only obligated to do 5%. I thought it was 10.
No, it's 5.
Really?
Yep. And the biggest one out here in California for that is it's called the Susan G. Komen Breast Walk for Cancer. They only give 20%. The rest of it goes to everybody else. That's what I understand. It's supposed to be for cancer research, but everybody's in a scheme to make money. And then by the time they get done with the pie, like I said, they don't have to give more than 5%.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just to keep them legal.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of volunteers out there. I know, like, I can understand that, you know, obviously some of the money and stuff has to probably go to pay the building, you know, to keep it going and stuff. But it's like, they can't,
You know, most of them are boiler rooms, Frank.
Yeah.
You know what a boiler room is?
Well, I don't think I know, Philip. Tell me what a boiler room is.
It's a room full of telephone.
Hey, Bill Kelly's came in.
It's Frank Belangi.
Hey, Frank.
Stacy and Pete.
Frank, Stacy, Pete. Sorry.
Hello.
We just...
I do know boiler room is. I was kidding you.
Yeah, we just played a couple of Frank's songs. He sent out his new songs. Everything dropped for him on Tuesday. So... he called in and he's telling us about what's going on, and then we talked about the charity thing.
Good.
Frosted me because when I came out of work today, they were collectors for cancer. When I asked them where the money was going, I couldn't get an answer. So you know everybody knows me down there, so when I started hollering, fuck them guys, don't give them a fucking dime.
As soon as we get off the air, you and I got a bad mouth. I'm going to bad mouth this disorganization, which only collects like 5 or 10% of total.
Exactly.
This is another organization that talked to me today about wanting money. They wanted me to, I'll talk about that later. Let me tell you what I did over the weekend. I went to an Indian powwow.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys in the Midwest, East Coast, or Europe don't have them, it's a gathering of all the Indian tribes. And they dress in the authentic fiesta costumes. They do the original dances and the chants and all that. And we had a very, very, very old Indian. And he got up and he led a prayer. And while Philip and I both are Christians, we don't push the Christian program as much
as we should.
Catholic Christian.
Okay.
But anyway, this old man...
clarify that and we'll get emails.
There we go. This old man was starting to pray, and I thought it was most interesting. It's a short prayer, so I want to share with everybody. He said, feet, thank you, feet, for carrying this heavy load. He said, eyes, thank you, eyes, for showing me this beautiful world. Ears, thank you, ears, for letting me listen to all the wonderful sounds. God, thank you for giving this body to experience everything. Such a short prayer, and I thought it was just a, maybe it was the Indian all dressed up in original costume, I don't know, but I thought it was kind of a nice prayer. I don't want to share it with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the only prayer I've ever given on the radio, so you guys are good for another 5 or 10 years without another prayer. But I just felt compelled. You got an Indian powwow in your area. It's kind of interesting to go and see that.
Yeah. Because you went one way
and the other.
It's short
but
sweet. Always... Somewhere. However, I hear we're both going to be in Mexico.
Right.
Maybe.
I'm going Saturday. I don't know what you're doing, but I got to go down Saturday. I was invited.
You're going down, what Saturday are you talking about?
This weekend.
You're going down to Tijuana?
Yeah.
Okay. No.
This at 3A Bike Festival when they had in Mazatlan.
No, I stand that. I stand that. No, I have a run out of my shop.
I know.
With the skeleton crew.
Yeah.
So I won't be going down there with that. You cross the border, Tijuana?
Absolutely.
You going down?
Yeah, I have a passport.
Good.
I don't have to worry about that.
I don't have a passport. I cross this country illegally, and the Mexicans don't care. I get back to America, and I don't have a passport to get back to America, so they just lean on me and lean on me, ask me questions like...
I told you, it's the way you look.
Why don't I have a passport?
The white hair doesn't fool everybody.
You know, I can understand the Mexicans saying, hey, before we come to our country, where's a passport? I think if I come back to America, what do I need a passport to get back?
Yeah.
I'm on a Harley-Davidson, paid for it. I got money in my pocket. What do you want to bug me for? But coming back to America, they harassed the shit out of me.
Because we look like drug dealers. We're riding expensive bikes.
If we were drug dealers, I'd be in a semi or an RV full of drugs. I'm on a motorcycle. I can't carry enough stuff. But I spoke to some of the Solo Angels out of Tijuana. They said that's going to be quite a big shindig this weekend.
Yeah, they gave me some flyers the other day.
Did you drop them off the shop?
No, he dropped them off.
Okay.
The same guy that always comes in the semi?
Yeah. Pedro. Nice.
Pedro. There you go. Pete.
Where'd you go?
Pete. Pedro was Pete.
Pedro.
Let me see this right here.
You go down the clubhouse, or are you going to just go down downtown and fly us?
No, I'm going to go down to the clubhouse.
Okay.
They asked me to stop.
Do you know where the hell you're going?
Yeah.
Okay. When you're traveling in Mexico, keep the ocean on your right.
Exactly.
When you want to come back to America, keep the ocean on your left. There you go. So you can't get lost.
But what I'll do, Frank, is I'm going to play Turn It All Around. And then we'll open it up for questions.
Oh. Sure. Sounds good.
Okay.
think, Bill?
I like her. I like
Frank's
all
right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I like, well, I can't take the real heavy stuff. It kind of bores me. But the real sissy stuff, it's too vanilla. This is kind of a nice little upbeat song.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
I've always wondered, now you are the writer, composer of the words and the music, is that correct?
Yeah, yep.
How can you explain to us that have no idea about what it takes to make a song? Do you start out with the music and then you put the words into the music, or do you start out with the words and then work the music into the, around the words?
Well, it's different for everybody, but with me, it's definitely the music first, and then depending on like the way the music sounds, I kind of think of a theme or maybe something I could write about, and then the words kind of come into play. Sometimes, you know, I will just kind of write lyrics down and keep ideas in the back of my head, and then maybe something will fit in the future, but mostly it's music first, then vocals. I always feel you have to have musically it's strong first and not just all about what you're saying. I mean, they kind of have to be on an equal ground. I think like pop music and stuff, I mean, it's all about the one beat and then just basically the vocals, you know, saying whatever over and over again. So it's yeah, that's a totally different process, you know. It's like every genre is different.
We only got him for like another 15 minutes.
Well, I've got more questions, but excuse me, let me pass to my questions and open up for any of our listeners. Anybody want to ask me any questions? Because I've got more questions, but I can postpone them.
No.
Anybody want to jump anything
well,
there?
Well, we got a call out of Western Kentucky.
Let's get that person.
270.
Talk to us.
Yeah, you're live.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I hear that you guys are featuring a badass rocker from New York tonight.
That's correct.
Awesome.
Is there any questions you had for him about his music, the way he composes it, or just any questions about him in general?
No, no questions, just commenting. I love his music. I'm a huge fan. One thing I love about Frank is that he knows how to balance his time well, time management. He knows just how much to devote to social media and to keep up with his fans and let them know that he really appreciates us. You know, because without fans, the artist will get nowhere without backing, you know, because the industry is just screwed up the way it is. But Frank is awesome with his fans. He loves his fans. He gives us the time of day. He cares about us as individuals. And you don't see that in a lot of people.
No, you don't.
And his music is just awesome. I've got all of his CDs. I've got his new download. My favorite track from his new EP is Boohoo.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. My overall favorite song is Love.
Wow, Frank's
awesome
only
guy.
A good fan here.
Yeah.
How long ago did you first hook up with Frank, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, my gosh. A year and a half ago, I heard about him through a mutual friend, Brenda, that lives in Florida. She got me turned on to his music, and I started watching his shows on Stage It, and I've been following him ever since.
Yeah, any chance I get that he sends me anything, I post it for him, too.
Well, I appreciate
that,
man.
Tell me about his audience.
I
mean, what are his audience?
Yeah, and the cool thing is I kind of took Frank all over Nashville with me last week. You know, last week was the big CMA Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am going to the first couple of days of that. You know, it's basically country music-based. And the first couple of days, I'm walking around rocking my Frank Belangi red T-shirt.
There you go.
Hey, well, you got to represent. You got to show them what's up.
Exactly, man. Well, dude, you know, I've known this guy a while. I know who he is here. And I appreciate you calling in and following my music. And, you know, you're right. It takes a lot of time, but it's worth it. And you know, it's always fun to talk to everybody. And if the artist doesn't care about the fans and stuff, then, you know, why are you doing it? You right. know?
Right.
Without them, you're not going anywhere.
Exactly.
It's like Rusty and his band. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Frank, let me ask you a question here. Tell me about the management aspects of it. Is this really still a rough business? I mean, you got some unscrupulous people you got to deal with. Or I know in California,
yeah.
everything is cutthroat, where you got to, sometimes you're going to be in a big club or something, you got to sell tickets, the band has to sell tickets. It's really not, it's not so nice out here in California for the music world. Is it somewhat that way in your world too, in your area, that you're part of America?
Oh yeah, same thing. I mean, it's filtered up into my area, and I'm about 4 hours away from New York City, and we did some national shows last year where, you know, we had to sell tickets, you know, to order to play it. You know, there is pay to play here now. There is, you know, all this type of stuff. And I mean, a lot of these restaurants and things, you know, they want you to play 3-4 hours of cover songs, you know. They don't really care about the artist because, you know, they think everyone, you know, when they go out to eat stuff wants to hear whatever. I play Every Rose Has Its Thorn, I don't know how many times when I play out.
That
but,
part of it does.
What?
Well, to the audience, I'm sure that never gets old, though, but perhaps I can see that gets on your, after a while, it might get on your good nerve because you are want to showcase your talents. But I guess I can understand where the restaurants and the club people would say, well, give them stuff that they recognize because we're trying to get them in there. But I didn't. Philip and I have got a lot of friends that are in Hollywood in bands, and actually it's pretty cutthroat. It's kind of a I don't want to say we've never had a problem with any of the musicians.
No.
In fact,
they always invite us to all their shows.
Oh yeah.
It's like standing room only.
Yeah, but they always VIP us and everything. Appreciate that. But I know your world is not all roses and all that. I know the fans are great. I know when the records are cut, but when you're trying to get into the music, you got to really meet a lot of strange people, which, did you ever get frustrated in the beginning, Frank?
Yeah, I mean, I still do now every once in a while, you know, and it's, I don't like the whole, it's kind of a big monopoly system. I mean, there's really one company around here that does all the national shows, and, you know, if you're going to contact them, you know, they're the ones to contact. So if you're not in with them, then, you know, it's, you can still probably get a couple, but it's very hard. And unfortunately, you know, it's how they run it is more beneficial for them rather than the artist. I mean, there's no reason why you can't run a legit club or something like that and actually give the artist respect, you know, even if they are playing for free, you know, you just don't throw them around, you know. You know, some of these places and stuff, I mean, some of these dives that have these bands play, they're like, you know, it'll be good exposure. They've used that word I don't know how many times, and it doesn't work on me anymore for exposure. I'm just like, I know what that means. It means, you know.
Frank, I
got to
cut you a second. Phil's
club.
Yelling at me. I'm bogarting all the. We only got a few more minutes with you. I've got Stacy and Nora on the line. Girls, you have any questions for Frank?
No, except he has great music. Sorry.
Girl, please. Who's on?
They're both there. Everybody's there. They're all in.
Only one spoke, though. Only one spoke.
Nah, we both spoke. I'm having problems. You guys are like fading in and out. It's not even funny. I'm only catching bits and pieces.
You might need a tinfoil hat then.
Yeah, possibility is.
Because, right, basically, I hate to say this, but I think you're the only one, because everybody else, I'm out there, and they're fine.
That's because I'm freaking special, you know?
Well, so, Frank, what do you got going for tour dates coming up?
Well, tomorrow I'll be playing at a Macy's in Colony, New York, and then at night, I'm doing kind of like a after-party performance at O'Toole's in Colony. So that'll be pretty cool. It's
nice
very, very it's interesting, man, that, you know, you're playing in a department store. You know, you think about it, not too many people I don't think experienced that, but it's an interesting atmosphere, but you know, it's a cool one. You know, right now I'm playing out once or twice a week all throughout New York. You know, I have a CD release in my hometown at Sweet Basil's June 28th. And, you know, between just gigs and things, it's all New York-based right now because all my money's been drained pretty much for, you know, the records. And, you know, everyone's like, when are you going to get on a tour? You know, when are you gonna tour to, you know, California and everything? And I'm like, dude, you know how much money that takes? And you have to have a good car, and you got to have, you know, everything in place. So it's, you know.
Yeah, I hear that because a friend of ours, he ended up, he was borrowing the bus, but because he borrowed the bus so much, he had to buy a bus.
Eunice, you out there?
Yeah.
I'm out
Eunice,
here.
You out there? Do you have a question for Frank?
I'm here.
You have any question?
How you doing? I heard I'm my friend, and I'm waiting for him to come up this way. He was supposed to.
Oh, are you near Massachusetts?
Yeah, I'm in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm trying to hook up a date there for the North Adams, Massachusetts again.
Right.
The guy hasn't got back to me yet, but I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that because I have friends that are going to come with us, you know.
Awesome.
When you get up there, yeah. Dying to meet you.
Really, all right, I'll call in here or something as soon as I know. It's funny, I just sent him an email tonight again because he was supposed to get back to me, so.
That'll be awesome. See, guys, I'll get to see him first.
See before we will, yeah.
First, and, yep, I will.
See, so
how you doing,
right now,
Bill?
Frank, you got the youngsters. You got the people in their 20s and 30s. You got the people in their 40s and 50s. You got some of the people in their 60s. So you're doing pretty good there, buddy.
Frank, what is your demographics you apply for in your music? Do you have a certain, you think is really strong relating to you? Or do you have a little mixed bag? Mixed bag.
You know,
language.
You know,
yeah, I mean, I just do the songs. You know, I just play the songs and make up songs, and surprisingly, I think they appeal to a wide audience and stuff. And I don't know. I mean, I like you said, I have younger kids, I have older people. I mean, it really I don't know. They're all over the place, which is good. I think that's a good thing.
Well,
yeah,
I'm gonna bring
it.
Hermes with us when we go out. Hermes is gonna do a little videotape of them.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Bring him along. Yep. Gonna have
lunch
Hermes with him tomorrow.
Okay. Hermes is a good guy, Frank.
Yeah. I really like him. Yeah.
He just gets you hooked up with Hermes. You'll be all
over
YouTube.
Will. Oh, yeah. I'll bring him along.
That sounds good.
I'm answering it to him tomorrow. So.
Hey, Frank, in this day and age, is it almost impossible for a young girl to try to make it on her own in the music industry? Or being a guy, did you find it was easier? Can you talk a little bit about the pitfalls of a young man versus a young girl trying to get in the business?
I think a girl with the right looks, I think, always has an advantage over a guy. I don't know what it is, but you know why, too? It's usually, I mean, there's a lot of, as far as I know, it's a lot of just male-driven people in all these offices and stuff. There isn't a lot of female head departments and things. Like, a lot of the females that I notice handle the marketing and the advertising aspect. I think they're better than that than us guys are. But, you know, I don't know if that's the reason why or what, but I think it's a little bit easier for, you know, some cute girl to go up there and bat their eyelashes and sing, you know.
So what you're saying is maybe if I dump my partner, Philip, and get a cute girl, the show might take off. Is that what you're saying?
You never know.
Your show is already taken off. You've got three beautiful women on your show.
Oh, little girl.
Come on, girl, speak up.
If I could bring you girls in and dump this guy, Philip, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
No, you wouldn't. You've got us anyways. Where's the other girls? Where's
I'm
Laura? Stacy?
We're here.
Come on. You know, tell Bill what's going on here.
I don't tell Bill anything. He's the wise one. I listen to him.
Well, he listens to us, right, Bill?
Frank, I got to tell you how much, and all the girls are laughing, how envious I am, because I sing almost every week. And, Frank, I don't have a talent. I don't have a talented bone in my body. Does not prevent me from singing. But I belong on stage. I have a great stage presence, but I really belong as the MC, announcer, or give me a tambourine.
There you go.
With the Dewey Buzz said, Bill, just play the tambourine. Don't even try to sing.
Don't say nothing.
But
just play
the point
tambourine.
Is, I enjoy singing, so when I talk to someone who is a confident, successful singer, I'm very envious because I want to sing, and I'm not stage fright. We know I'm on stage all the time. I cannot. My voice cracks going up. My voice cracks going down.
Frank.
That's okay.
Frank,
I'm happy.
Frank, just imagine this. Now, our friend Rusty, his band is called Atticus 7. They're getting ready to play.
Yep.
Bill's out warming up the crowd. They do their set. They come off the stage. Bill's off to the right. All the girls run up to him. They start talking to him about, are you at the band? And all this. No, I'm just the MC. You never saw a guy so downtrodden because they all just walked away from him. Oh, you're nobody.
Are you on tour? Are you on tour? No, see, I'm just a local MC. I don't leave the clubs and all that. Oh, it was so disappointing. So disappointing.
I mean, they were hot.
I do get a lot of fine-looking women on stage that somehow want to trust me. No, it's okay. Come up here. Sure. Bands are starting just a minute, but come on up here. So I'm very envious.
The next big event we have. We'll get Frank out here. We'll see how we can get him out here. Because
I'll be singing, too. Frank may get a little self-conscious next to my voice.
But
he hasn't heard my voice.
Sweetwater's doing that Rock in the Rooftop tomorrow.
Oh, shit. With
tomorrow night.
With who? Leonard Skinner?
Yeah, it's a woman. It's an all-girl band.
Oh.
Leonard Skinner or something. Or
no, it's not.
It's all women.
I thought it was Leonard Skinner playing, but no.
No.
It's a
cover band.
Oh, okay.
Band.
All right.
They're all women. But
yeah, man, if I come out there and play, you should be the MC out there for...
That's all that let me be.
That's what we're going to... We'll see if we can work on that for you.
Let me have the microphone until they start tuning up the instruments and they say, that's it, Bill. Get back. But I tell you what, I guarantee you this. When you come out on stage, that audience is primed. That audience is ready. You don't ever walk out to a cold stage when Bill Kennedy's on stage. I have everybody screaming their bloody name off.
You know what?
I can't sing.
We were at the Naughty School Go Run last weekend.
Yes, we
and,
were.
Now the whole room is full. Tables, people, standing room only crowd, Frank. They start doing the wet T-shirt contest. And all the guys in the front, nobody could see. So all the people got up and walked out. But in the whole time, all this time, everybody was hollering at Bill to get up there and take over.
Some people have good management skills.
Yeah, so now next year, Bill's going to be the MC.
I'll run the program.
It'll run right this time.
They won't ever let me sing, Frank. It's a conspiracy, I think. That's what it is. Philip
yeah,
will be
it's
mixed.
Funny because I get requests to go out to certain states and things, and I mean, it's easier actually if I go out and do acoustic sets or whatever, rock acoustic sets, whatever you want to call it. But I would be game. If you guys got something? I mean, we can work out something and figure it out.
Yeah. Because we the last one we had with Pastor Z's band, but this guy had no arms, and he was playing. I forget what he was playing, but he was playing with his feet.
Playing guitar.
He got a standing
lead singer and playing the guitar with his feet.
Yeah, because he has no arms.
No way. That's wild.
He got a standing room only, applause,
the band,
encore, everything.
The band was called Big Toes.
Yeah.
And he, I assumed he was the singer because he got no arms. Because what can you do? Well, just before he started to do that, he kicked off his sandals, and they put a guitar at his feet, And friends of mine who are professional guitar players said they could not play as good as this guy did. So it was impressive. Here's a man overcoming. And I don't mean just the arms are cut off straight. It's almost like from his neck at an angle, both his arms were cut off. And he overcame all that to learn guitar. That's pretty amazing. Really put everybody in. He was a veteran, too, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's all good with that.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as you get ready here, Frank, let us know. Hey, Phil.
All right. Yeah.
Boston 3, Chicago 1.
It's okay. It was that way the other day, and we came back. Don't worry about it. If you want to put your money where your mouth, I'll take all bets.
Yeah, the fix is in. I know
the
that
fix is in.
Yeah.
Chicago Black Sox, yeah.
If I bet Hermes yesterday. If I lose, I got to buy him an iron.
A what?
An iron.
You notice iron? He didn't buy, yeah, you notice he didn't bet me, though.
No, he won't, no. But, so, Frank, what I'd like you to do, though, is if you want to come back next Thursday or, like, every other Thursday, it's up to you, but I'll prime everybody before the show starts. I got 10 or 15 minutes. I can play songs. So I'll start playing your stuff a little bit before, and then we'll start using them in a rotation.
We can, this is just top
sure,
of my
yeah.
head and all that. We have a friend of ours who's going back east. He wants to do a club thing back east. He just says what he wants to do, and he owns like 70 acres of property in New York, and we may throw a big bash in New York, and that's in the wind yet. But we got.
If you guys throw a bash in New York, I am so there. Just saying.
That's what we get figured.
I'm
still
so
talk.
There too. Yeah.
Hey, you gotta let me know because it's probably within 2 hours from me, like somewhere in that radius.
Yeah, he's right up there by Walk Hill. He's going to be right up there by Walk Hill.
That's like 3 hours from me.
Yeah. If we can pull this off, you'll be there, Frank.
That sounds good. Just let me know.
I will. Like I said, if you want to, Bill, you can come back. We'll
yeah. We've got to try to keep in touch
need.
On this one.
Yeah,
after with that, yeah.
We'll give him as much time as he needs and whenever he calls in.
Because you have absolutely no idea who's going to listen, who's going to spread that message
right.
on other people. And then a lot of our people out of the country... I've got this all taped because the time constraints and all that. Listen to us. They listen to this show tomorrow when they wake up and all that. So
yeah, because
one never knows, do one.
No, because right now, Frank, just for shits and giggles, let me look something up here real quick.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can feel free to play the songs anytime you want. You know, that's why I share them and stuff with you guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like right now we got. We got Canada, United States, Germany, the United Kingdom, France, Latvia, Poland. We got some people in Poland, Australia, Hong Kong, and Ireland. And then there's
Czech. Kentucky, man. Kentucky.
There's only one. Right now, there's only one guy from Kentucky, so he hasn't made the page yet. But we got China, Turkey. We got 22 people in China.
You know, we've had just one person a month calling for listening to us from China. Our show is definitely, I'll use a German word, verboten in China. I'd use a Chinese word, but I don't know what the hell it is. So since we're forbidden in China, these people will be arrested for listening to this show.
Yeah.
But we've gone from one person to 22.
Right.
And
got,
that's pretty exciting to
and
me.
We got
you know?
France, the Netherlands, Turkey.
Yeah, yeah, they're okay. They're just the one, yeah.
Yeah, we're all over.
That's all over. That's a good thing.
New Zealand. Indonesia, the Ukraine, Brazil, Denmark. Yeah, we're pretty much all over, Frank. So usually like tomorrow morning if I look, it's probably anywhere from 18,000 to 25,000 check in on the archive.
Let's not forget who from Finland.
Yeah. And Finland is the dominatrix chick.
God bless the girl for that.
God bless her.
Well, yeah, thanks, you know, for having me on tonight here, and I hope you guys listening out there go to check out this new album. It's called I Am Ready, and, I mean, you can get it on CD Baby. It will be on iTunes soon, and it's on Amazon right now. So, you know, hopefully check it out and spread it to your friends, and I think this is the album to definitely get some gears turning here. It's... a lot of work into it, and I can't believe how it came out. And great response I'm getting from everybody, so it's really cool.
And that email you sent me the other day, I copied and pasted the whole thing, and you had over, just the next couple of days, you had over 1,200 people looked at that article.
That's awesome. That's a good number.
Well, and they start telling their friends, yeah.
Exactly. You know what they say, too? They say all you need is 1,000 fans. 1,000, you know, really good, permanent, hardcore fans to keep a career going. And if you think about it, that's not a lot of people compared to how many are in the world. And if you think about, like, you're into marketing and stuff with numbers, and 1,000 is a good number. You know.
Yeah, and if you, I posted that on the blog the other day. If you want to send me something once a week to put up, I'll do that for you too.
You know, Philip, I'm a little worried about some of our East Coast listeners. Some of our women back there, they might get a little crazy in that audience. You know.
Yeah, that too. You know,
well,
I can see Eunice out.
Can come out and see me somehow. They can meet me or whatever and go crazy.
There we go. Oh, there we go.
See.
What are you looking at, Phil?
Oh, I'm checking out some stuff for Frank on the blog. I'm trying to bring.
Yeah, I'll send you. I have a couple of new Q103 Albany here. The Rocks radio station just released a write up on I Am Ready Today. Indie Minded. Whoever, I think it's Jive Wired. Those are the people that made my EPK. They really digged the new EP too, and some of my endorsements and stuff have been pretty cool with supporting it. CD Baby actually sent out this letter that I posted, and it's been pretty cool. And actually, you know, I've been on this radio tour here doing tons and tons of interviews, so I've been talking up a storm. And actually, I have to get going in a few minutes because I actually have to do a radio commercial that'll air here all this month. So I have to hook up my microphone, my studio, and do some more talking here.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions for Frank before we let him go?
No question. Just get your butt to Nashville so I can see you in person.
There
yeah,
we go.
Man. I will be back.
We're going to have
Now you're like 1,000 miles away from me.
For Frank fun, yeah.
I have to start a support Frank fund.
Yeah, I just checked Bing Maps, and from here to Queensbury is 992.7 miles.
Yeah, I think it's like 16 hours or something.
Yeah,
you're
14
not,
and a half, 15.
Nah, you're not driving fast enough. I could probably make it in 12.
Not me. I got to stop, and I like to take it easy a little bit more. See the sights,
yeah,
you know?
And I'm not rich enough to have my own private jet.
Someday.
We
someday.
Flow with our Harley Davidson motorcycles.
There you go.
Right.
All right, then,
cool, guys.
Frank Legas, send me an email, keep me up to date, and we'll keep you posted on that thing going on in New York, and I'll see about when I talk to I'll talk to Anastasia tomorrow and see when they're going to.
Yeah, and let me kick some of that music around there so I can play some of the songs I like, you know, because I like usually one or two songs that are set that I like, so, you know. I just don't want you playing
right.
Everything you like over and over and over.
No.
Give
well,
me a chance,
you
too.
Know what, you know what? You
it's
know.
All about you. It's
well,
always
wait,
about
no, no.
you.
Hey, Frank, you know what? You got any.
Frank,
got...
pick right now. Bill or Phil? Who's your best buddy?
I can't do that.
But, no, Frank, you got any CDs packaged up, ready to go?
I will. I'm getting my CDs the 20th through the 24th. Right now I have T-shirts, wristbands, download cards, my other EP. I have autograph cards. I have guitar picks, bumper stickers. So I got a whole bunch of stuff here.
What I'm thinking is Bill's got this little thing on the top of the counter that we promote people from time to time, and you send us CDs, and then if you want to do a thing the next time you call, if you want to do a little giveaway for whoever can answer a trivia question about you, then we'll give them a CD.
Yeah, we can send some of the music up to other friends of ours in the industry.
Friends, yeah.
I'm thinking about, you know, Attica 7, some of those boys up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spread the word around among people that can appreciate what he's doing.
Yeah.
You and I, it sounds good to us. We like it.
Yeah.
But people in the industry, they know the quality stuff, and I don't, you know, I just know I like it or I don't like it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could probably do something like that probably mid-summer, somewhere in there when I get more CDs, because my budget
is no worries.
No tight with all the new merch and stuff. But I will, when I do my second order, which should be in July, I could hook you guys up with something.
Good. So we'll pop them on. Pop them on the counter, and then we got some places. We got a few nail salons, a few hair salons, and stuff that we can give them that they can play while people are in there.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
Why do you go to hair salons? I always wondered about that.
What?
Why do you go to hair salons?
Barber, Bill.
Why do you go to nail salons?
I don't go to the nail salons.
You said you go to nail salons?
No,
hair salons.
I
don't go to nail salons. I don't go to hair salons.
Why do you
go there?
Well, don't start.
Why would you be at nail salons?
No.
You what would you be doing in nail salons?
Let me.
I'm trying to have a conversation with Frank, and you're talking about you're going to nail salons.
Go
and, no, I'm upset now. How long have you been going to nail salons? And, you know, Frank, you might be talking to Bill, not Phil. This is a problem here, I'm telling you right now.
Man
goes to nail salons.
No,
what the hell are you doing in nail salons?
How many women do we know that go get their nails done? And they're always talking about listening to somebody's CD or something in the nail salon. They play this music or they play that music. So we just start passing out a few.
Well, I know what you're saying. I'm just breaking your balls.
Best advertisement, man.
It's it. Bitch.
Yeah, maybe can you guys throw on Thank You and be the last song here?
Yeah.
Let's do it now.
Yeah. We'll do it right now.
All right, then. You guys have a good night, and thank you guys for having me on your show.
Frank, nice talking to you. Bill Kennedy saying good night for now.
All right,
you
guys.
Say
goodnight. Keep rocking.
Good night.
All right, good night. Let me,
night.
See you guys.
That's right. Here we go. Okay, this one is, do you want to bring it up, though?
No. I don't have my glasses. I got my glasses, though.
Says,
I couldn't read that anyway.
It says, thank you. This one's by Frank Falangi. It's a, we got it on an MP3.
Okay.
And we'll play it right now.
We'll play it right now. And I'm going to put my glasses on so I can read. Saving my life, falling on. Frank. All right, Frank.
And just while we had Frank on, we got at 6:48, we had 560.
Huh?
And at 8:50 or 6:55, we had 780 people. Look.
Let me ask some of the ladies. Ladies, what? How would you describe Frank's music? What's the appeal to Frank's music? Anybody want to talk to me about that a moment?
I didn't hear any of Frank's music tonight. Not one bit of it. It all came in static and terrible.
Well,
same here.
I sent you some of the songs Frank sent me because you were having that problem. And
okay.
Go ahead.
Because the same thing. It was all static.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It might have something to do with that storm you guys are having back there, but everybody else they're hearing it all over the world, so I don't know what to tell you. In fact, it might be time to break out the tinfoil hats like last time. But
did everybody hear about my Indian prayer?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was
good. I don't mean to keep bugging that. I just thought that he was praying, but it wasn't really a prayer. It was just thanking everything. It was just kind of a nice, nice old man, long hair down, you know, all that stuff and all that.
Well, I'm going to an Indian chow house Saturday night.
Oh.
Enlighten us. Yeah.
What is that, dear?
It's here in Massachusetts, a friend of mine, David, he goes to them all the time. So he asked me if I wanted to attend this Saturday night, so I'm going to go. Never been to one. It should be an experience, you know. So a healing chow-wow, whatever they call it, Indian.
Powwow or chow-wow?
Yeah. Chow-wow. How do they say it?
Powwow.
Out-wow? Oh, okay. So I'm going to that Saturday night, so that should be interesting. I'll give you a full report Tuesday.
Huh? Yeah,
have you ever been to one?
In this area out here, well, you guys know I spent maybe 10 years in Mexico with a Mexican bike club. But California, there's quite a few hard Mexican-American bike clubs, and there's two or three hard Indian motorcycle clubs that Philip and I ride out to the different areas with. It's not that I think they're special people, but I appreciate the fact that they're spiritual about the land.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pass for an Indian. I'm not trying to say I do that, but a lot of what they say makes sense. They had an Eskimo, American Indian, excuse me, he was an Indian from the Arctic Circle, and he was saying that it was a while back that the meltdown was a small trickle going into the ocean, and they would come for miles around to watch the trickle of water going into the ocean. Now it's a raging river, and they're afraid to get close to it. The meltdown is so out of control there, they don't know how they're going to deal with it. Now, I've always heard about the ice caps are melting and everything. I've never really paid attention to it until I listened to these Indians say that the land, the ice glaciers are melting right in front of them, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. We're cutting down too many trees. We're taking away the oxygen away. The Indians were telling me that in the plains, the buffalo lives peacefully with the mouse. Why are we destroying this Mother Earth? I don't know. I just feel at times that I really wish I could do more.
You know, Bill, there's a guy dying to say something along the lines you're talking about.
Oh, well. Let's hear what he has to say.
I have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the streets. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to ride, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it! My life has value! So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You know, Phil, this world is so screwed up, and yet it's not going to affect you and I, but our grandkids.
Yep.
When are we leaving our grandchildren, I wonder?
I could, there's another guy here that can tell you about that, Bill.
Do tell.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Country know the truth. It's called the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
You know, sometimes George just gets the nail right on the head, doesn't he?
And that was 8 years ago.
So, Philip, you and I are just two taxpayers. We're family men. We're veterans. We're members of the community. We have a nice show, and all we're doing is sharing information. And why do we keep getting jacked up? Why is the show being monitored?
Well, because some of the
stopped by the police over and over and over?
Some of the topics, Bill, you know your rights when dealing with officers. How to file a complaint against a police officer. The Public Records Act guidelines that I post. The California legislator, the $10 fee for a search. And, the knife laws in California. The update on the knife laws.
We tell the people how to bring a tape recorder.
Exactly.
Well, we tell people we're not telling them to do anything wrong. We're telling them what their rights are as American citizens.
You know, it's just like the one I posted the other day about California law makes helmet violations a fix-it ticket. But they write it up under safety so they can get paid.
I had a friend of mine came by, and he said to me that there's a cop. He said, the Oceanside Police Department will not be coming to my shop. I said, okay, good. They'll take their motorcycle business to other shops, the private-owned vehicles. I said, well, that's just fine. We didn't want them in the shop anyway.
No.
Didn't you believe that? Well, don't go to Kennedy's motorcycle shop. Because he and Phil are taking the time to talk to people about the truth.
Right.
We're not asking for any
Basically, Bill, thousands of people plead guilty to crimes every year in the United States because they know that the odds of the jury's believing their word over police officers are slim to none. Because police lie under oath, their testimony shouldn't be trusted any more than any other witness.
That's right. If a policeman has
got
it right...
I mean, that may sound harsh, but numerous law enforcement officials have put the matter more bluntly. This guy, Peter Kane, former San Francisco Police Commissioner, wrote an article in the San Francisco Chronicle decrying a police culture that treats lying as the norm. Police officer perjury in court to justify illegal dope searches is commonplace. One of the dirty little not-so-secrets of the criminal justice system is undercover narcotics officers intentionally lying under oath. It is a perversion of the American justice system that strikes directly at the rule of law. It is the routine way of doing business in courtrooms everywhere in America.
They go to classes.
And learn how to lie.
And learn how to lie.
And learn how to lie.
Now, we're not making this up, folks. Well, I don't want you being paranoid.
Anything that Bill and I mentioned is all blocked. Yeah. You can get to that at Buggers of America, blogspot.com.
We don't want you to be afraid of the police department.
No.
We don't want you to be afraid of anybody. You are United States citizens. Stand up and make a difference.
I mean, it's like...
Stand up and make a difference.
I said this the other day to Stacey. I said 9 out of 10 people are just going to pay the ticket.
That's right. One guy's
going to fight it.
Yep.
You know, I'm gonna put it up in the chat room right now where you can reach the blog. But if you don't pay attention, you're gonna get fucked.
I tell you
what. That was sound like a foghorn.
Oh, that was my phone.
It
happens to vibrate through the table. But Henry just wrote, why can't people just get along? Well, Henry, because sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. You know, we had a little conversation this morning, Henry, so if you're going to throw that one out there on why we can't get along.
Well, I don't think Rodney King was boy for why can't we get along.
No. Go ahead, Stacey.
It's because misery loves company, and when you've got more than one miserable party, they're going to suck everybody right in.
I mean, that's true. I got guys at work that can't talk to me without bringing somebody with them.
What do you guys think of that guy Snow, the whistleblower who's hiding out in, is it Hong Kong or Taiwan? I forgot now.
Japan,
the whistleblower,
something like that.
Anybody their opinion on what he did and what do you think of him as a person?
I think he's a great person. We need more whistleblowers.
Yeah.
What do you think about the fact that he has to leave this country and he has to hide? Because when they get a hold of him, they're going to give him so many years in jail, he's never going to see daylight again.
I think that's terrible, Bill. That's why our government gets away with all the things they do, because they don't want people to know the dirty works that they do.
Yeah, but that's politics clear across the board. You know, I always land up doing this, but I have a difference of opinion on a little bit of this matter. I personally feel that everything that the government does, that, you know, there are some things that we shouldn't have to know or have to not worry about, whatever. But I don't know. That's as far as I want to take it at this point.
No, that's the reason I'm asking this, because I have a lot of people that are split on this. They're feeling that by opening up the phone records and all that, even though they're saying, well, we're really not doing it, blah, 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 and now they're saying, well, we are doing it. If we've got nothing to hide, it is another way to combat the terrorists in this country. So I'm hearing two different opinions from many of my friends. Some are saying, well, it's the government's job to protect us. Other ones are saying, hey, it's not the government's job to get in my private phone calls. Are we sacrificing more of our rights, or are we losing our rights to combat terrorism? Now, I've got friends of mine who think this guy's a piece of shit. I got other guys who are saying he's a red, white, and blue patriot. He's not after money, he's just after the truth. And I've really got friends divided right down the middle. Why shouldn't the government listen in unless you're saying something illegal?
They're listening right now.
So,
well, I think what I thoroughly think is that the government is going to take a little bit advantage of this. You know, you give somebody an inch and they take a mile, and their excuse is going to be to combat, you know, terrorism.
Yeah.
But I think there's a fine line that, you know, we as people and them as our higher ups, whatever you want to call them, that they have to really look at. If they're monitoring, let's say, certain people's phone calls, I would assume it would be for the well-being of the country as a whole. If it's for stupid stuff about, you know, who's playing poker with who on a Friday night, you know, that's where it's like, no, that's not okay. Many people hire, I mean, look at court cases in general. People hire private investigators and stuff to dig down and get the evidence, get down and dirty. And, you know, I thoroughly believe that, you know, some things just have to stay secret. Not everything, but some things do. And on some level, that dude was right, and on some level, he was wrong. And, you know, it goes like this. If you know what the laws are of your country and you choose to go against that and be, quote-unquote, patriotic, then, you know, it goes with the old-fashioned saying, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, you know? So that's a tough
let's
one.
Go back to Watergate. Do you think that was right, what our own president did?
I don't know, because they only let out specifics in certain details of things, and of course there's always going to be things that we are never going to know about. So,
right.
You know,
but if
it's
it
like
was
I
so
guess,
bad.
I don't know, because
why did he resign? Why did he resign if it wasn't so bad?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Well, Watergate had nothing to do with national secrets. Watergate was simply one party trying to take advantage of the other party and get information. And I think everybody that got busted in Watergate deserved every day they got.
I do too, Bill.
Right.
But I'm just saying, how far are we going to allow our government? Now, you and I have been in this country. I've been in this country for 72 years. I was born in this country. So do you think they should get into my phone conversations?
Oh, I'm extremely against it. I'm saying my friends are divided as to for national security,
you know,
it's okay. I am against the whole concept completely. People say, well, we're giving the terrorists another tool.
You're not giving the terrorists another tool. They're using that as an excuse. Now, you know where the terrorism is, what country it's coming from, you know, those are the ones that should be investigated. You know,
I agree.
In World War II, we had a lot of Japanese people that were in this country and were born in this country. And where did they end up, Bill, in World War II? In concentration camps. And that's just what I call them.
Camps. Right.
Yep. You know, and they had never, they had been born in this country.
That's right. They lost their land, lost their businesses.
Everything.
Right.
Everything.
And during the war, who did we fight in the war? We fought against these. We also fought against the Nazis, right? The Germans? How many Germans did we lock up in America?
Did they?
No.
Were they locked up?
No.
So it was pick and choose. It was pick and choose.
It was a yellow scare.
That's right.
In fact, I want to tell you something. Philip and I do a motorcycle run into Mexico. It's called Español Puerto Penasco. For us definitely white guys, Rocky Point. I went down there years ago, and I was admiring the road from America through Mexico to Ciudad Cortez. The road was so highly developed, it was not typical Mexican. A lot of research went on my part, found out. America was so afraid that the East Coast would be the Germans were going to hook up the East Coast, so no trafficking in or out.
Well, they got as far as New York Harbor.
Yeah. They were afraid that the Japanese would be able to bottleneck the whole West Coast. So America took a road from Arizona down to Ciudad Cortez because Mexico was absolutely independent. They were so afraid the Japanese were going to take over. Why? Because they're different skin? Why didn't we pick on the Nazis? 2 weeks after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, Hitler declared war on America. That's all facts.
Yeah.
We didn't. In fact, tell me this, anybody. The Japanese attacked America, Pearl Harbor. 2 weeks later, Hitler declared war on America, but really didn't attack America right away. So who did we go after? We went after Hitler. After we destroyed Hitler, then we went after the Japanese. And all the, in case anybody's going to tell me any BS about those atomic bombs, I got to straighten you out right now. Yes, we dropped atomic bombs. Why did the Japanese capitulate? I'm going to tell you. Because the Russians, right after we dropped the second bomb, the Russians were invading Japan. In fact, 2 weeks after Japan signed the agreement to stop the war, Russia kept taking more Japanese properties. Japan only quit the war because they were afraid Russia was going to roll down that peninsula and take them all out. It was not the atomic bombs. The atomic bombs have been just a great publicity bullshit story. Yes, they did a lot of damage. But a bomb's a bomb, a bullet's a bullet. The Japanese people were so afraid the Russians were going to take over Japan. That, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is a true story. We're talking about the atomic bombs. The only thing wrong with atomic bombs is we didn't have enough atomic bombs in Japan, in my opinion. Whoops, I got on my high horse again. Why don't you people stop me? I'm sorry.
Well, no, because it's true, Bill, and people listen to it, you know? I mean, to tell the truth, I get so discouraged with American history, you know? They glorified stuff that really never even really happened, you know? I mean, we just had a lieutenant governor resign. When did you ever hear of a lieutenant governor resigning?
Only through a sex scandal.
You know, I mean, come on. And I have personal people that say to me,
oh, I know him personally.
Yeah. Well, I knew him that was real personal, too. And I happen to love the guy. I happen to love his uncle very much. And the guy fought for our Bill. And guess what he was doing, Bill?
What, dear?
He was faxing his penis over the Internet. Now, if anything could hurt the Bill, would that hurt the Bill? I mean, you just never know people.
No.
You don't know people. You think you know them,
We talked about the fact that American presidents were all saints up until JFK. Every president, including JFK, of course, slept around and all that, but the press had always kept a respectable distance from the American presidents. The assassination of John F. Kennedy, the American press for the first time started into the lives of our presidents, where before the presidents probably has many girlfriends as well. We never exposed them. The presidency was always off. Now, every president's doing anything wrong, we're getting caught.
They, for Christ's sake, they could cut their pie wrong, and they're, you know, it's a scandal. I mean, that's, you know, I know I'm 72, but I really do remember when the Republicans and the Democrats used to work together. Now it's one against the other, you know? I mean, it's just so. I hate politics now. I really do, because it's not good politics. Anything that if they want you out, you're going to be out. They'll find anything to get you out. People say to me, you should run, you know, for city council or a representative, and guess what? I would never do it. I wouldn't want them into my personal life or to degrade my children for whatever they've done, you know.
May I tell you something? I'm not going to say the man's name. A very high official told me, now, Bill, in the past we've talked about you running for city council and all that, and I always said, no, I'm a community activist, not a politician. The man said, why I should never run is because, this is a good words, because I know both my parents. And I went, wow. Is it that dirty? He goes, yes, it is that dirty out there, Bill. Somebody like you,
right.
Your parents, don't run for office. I went, wow.
Yep. I mean, isn't that scary?
Oh,
and
yeah.
The ones that run for these positions are millionaires. It's all over the strength and the monies, you know. It's years ago you could run for something and have $50 in your checking account. You better have $50 million in your checking account, you know.
How could you run for president and spend $10-20 million to be elected president, and your paycheck's only maybe $1 million in 4 years? You're spending $50 million out of your own money. Or donations and all that. Where's the reality?
You don't get it on the back end with all the shit. You
that's what they say.
Doors.
That's what they say.
That's why.
Every CEO of every large American corporation makes more than the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But,
hey,
some CEO in New York just got a check for $11 million, Bill.
Yeah. Where do we want
after
to be president?
Tax,
why would he want to be president? Yeah.
People that want to be president is just for status. Status.
There's 12,000 union workers in Texas that are going to lose their retirement benefits because the company took them back.
Yeah. What about the Santa Onofre closing down now completely? 1,100 more guys laid off.
Laid off.
I was at the bar before I came down here at lunchtime, and Santa Onofre nuclear power plant. Some employees are sitting there. Bill, what am I going to do? Where can I get a job? Bill, I'm not getting the same paycheck anymore, but I got my same bills. How do I deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I don't know.
They don't want the unions in this company anymore, in this country anymore. They really don't, you know. I don't know what to tell you. It's Massachusetts was thriving at one time. Now it's not going to thrive. Massachusetts is really going to get hurt. And,
yes.
And so on several other states. You know, but they're really, really going to get hurt. I mean, we
and
have
my daughter
was drunk.
And she's in a town, I don't know why I can't name it right now. It was in, her city was the galoshes capital of the world. And I don't know why I can't think of the name of that. I went back to visit her a while ago. Industrial buildings everywhere. And I said, honey, we're driving around. I said, honey, all day, how come everything is closed? She said, Dad, they outsourced all the galoshes to China. Every single
yep.
industry galoshes in that small town in Massachusetts shut down. We have
yep.
grandparents taking care of their children the grandparents take care of the grandchildren because the children are in other cities looking for work, trying to make money. That's everywhere in America. Look at all over. What happened to America? Why did we let this happen? Why weren't we talking about this 20 years ago? Why weren't there people out there, Americans, saying, hey, hey, look what's going on? And yet, even today, they're ignoring us. I mean, I don't think that Philip and I are anything special. I think that everybody here has got something special to say. We're trying to tell the world, look around, look at your neighborhood. Look where you live. Look what's happening to America. I don't care how many immigrants come in. And we live here now. I welcome all the immigrants of the world in here. But I'm saying, look at your neighborhood. Look at the industry. Everything is going overseas. Who's making the money? The CEOs of all the corporations. And I've said, if it was up to me, every one of those people would be in jail. That's how I feel about that.
And you don't get the quality of work. You don't get the quality of work. You really don't. You buy something, you pay $50 for it, and it's made for $2. You know, come on.
You know,
where's that other?
Well, you're talking about like Herman said yesterday. He paid $60 for an iron, and it worked for a little bit. He paid $12 for the one that was made in America, and it's still working.
You know, and it's you know, it's just terrible. It's totally terrible. People laugh at me. I go to Walmart. And I buy these women's T-shirts $5. You know why I do that? Because I'll be damned if I'm going to go in a store and pay $50 for a blouse that's been made in China. I'm not doing
it. Right.
I'm not doing it, especially when the people in China, they're not getting paid very well either. That's why our companies are in China. You know.
Do you know what really irritates me is when
the average wage in China is $3 an hour, though.
No. What really irritates me when I go to stores.
$3 a day.
When I walk into a store and somebody does not say good morning or good afternoon to me, may I help you? When I leave the store, a gas station, 7-Eleven, whatever it is, when I leave, thank you for stopping by. You come to my brother Mike Kennedy and myself, we own Kennedy's Custom Cycles, cheap commercial now, but I'm going to tell you. Walk in our store, we say, good afternoon, how you doing? How's your wife? How's your dog? How's your kid? You leave. Hey, thanks for stopping by. The reason we say that at Kennedy's Custom Cycles is because our mother told us growing up, most people don't have to come to your store. They can find another store blocked down the road. Appreciate your customers. We, my brother and I, appreciate them coming and going, but I can't go to a gas station or anything.
No.
And get, unless it's a good-looking girl flirting with me a little bit.
Well, you even when the cops show up, you tell them hello and stuff, but you also stop them at the door and say, if you're here to look at a motorcycle or buy parts, you're more than welcome. But if you're going to come in here and start some shit,
you
ain't coming in.
No, I put my foot down on that.
Let me tell you, talking about people not responding to people, we just had our street, new gas lines put in our street, okay? And they had a cop out there. Every morning. So I'd go out, you know, good morning. And he'd look at me. So I said to him, I think you better get back in your car and take a happy pill. I just said good morning to you. Do you think that was an effort for me to say good morning to you? And he looked at me like, what? And he goes, oh, good morning. But see, I'm not afraid to go out there and say that. When you get pukey cops that are making $68 an hour standing there and drinking their Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Okay? I know another guy that's a police officer, but also works in the union. You know?
Right.
I mean, and there's guys that have been out of work for 6 months. So what is he double dipping for? See, that pisses me off.
No.
When he has a good job, but he's taking another job away from somebody that hasn't worked in 6 months.
You know, Philip and I pass the local cops on the motorcycles, and we wave at them. I'm not trying to be their friend. I want to stick my hand right in their face.
Yeah.
They won't wave back at me, and they get like, what's he waving at me for? I keep doing it and doing it. I'll pull up alongside them. I'll do anything I can. I will wave at them. I know what irritates them. I'm doing it because they're on a motorcycle, I'm on a motorcycle. They have to learn to share the road. They don't own the road.
Well, you know, only a dog knows why it sticks its head out of the window, Bill.
What?
you know the most friendliest state that I have ever been in was Colorado.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because you can pull up beside a person, and they would look over, and they would say, good morning or good afternoon, and they meant it. I couldn't believe it. Well, my mother lived out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I loved it. That's the only state that I've ever been in that people didn't look at you strange if you said good morning to them.
You know, right so, now, I've got a little bicycle that I ride the motorcycle to work every day, open up the shop, get everybody organized and all that, say good morning to all my employees and everything, and I get on my bicycle and I ride a couple miles. I'm trying to make myself look slim and healthy. I don't know. It's a crazy idea. I'm driving around. I'm saying hello to people on my bicycle, and it looked like, I said hello to this one lady. She turned around. Is there somebody else here? Is he talking to me? They're afraid to talk to each other. People on the bicycle wave at them. They wave back anyway, but people are afraid to say hello.
Yeah.
Listen, anybody on the East Coast, I got a question for everybody. When I was growing up, and I don't know what the hell brought this on, but please bear with me. When I was growing up, there was a, like a cupcake. What was a cupcake? It was kind of, anyway, the thing was called Devil Dogs.
Devil
Does anybody
dogs.
Ever hear it? Are they out there anymore?
Yeah,
know?
Like,
yep,
they're still here.
I like
Devil
those
dogs.
Things in the freezer. Put them in the freezer. They're great.
Wow,
Why,
I don't
do you
know.
Want us to send you some, Bill?
You can send me
yeah,
one or
company,
two.
The company went out of business. Drake's was the one that made Devil Dog. Yeah.
Oh.
This family
Along
was diehard Devil Dog fans. Yeah.
Along with
you
the
ain't getting no Devil Dogs.
You can still get Devil Dogs.
Where?
You mean the long brown ones with the cream inside, right?
Drake's went out of business.
Those are
Drake, weren't they?
Excellent.
I don't remember.
I don't think you can.
Well, you can still get Devil Dogs. They might not be that particular company, but you can still get, is it, Miss Debbie's?
I have not thought of that in years. No idea why I brought that up, but, a little blast.
You may try it anyways, Bill.
Well, where are we going to
I'm going to look. I'm going to look. If I can find them, I'll send them to you.
You do. Oh, well.
All right. All right, guys.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to head off.
All right. Talk to you later.
I got to go get my pills. So have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll be taking off my bike, heading home pretty soon myself. You know,
no.
Of course, it's still, it's 8 o'clock, it's 7:49 out here, it's still daylight. I won't need my headlights on. Well, pretty soon I will. It's a beautiful, light, warm day out here. I have a polo shirt, and I'm going to wear a light Pendleton on the ride home. Just to share.
Shush. It's raining like a sieve out here.
Oh, my
and
God.
We got flash flood warnings.
Those storms came from here. We had those last night.
Yeah, the emergency thing just came up on my phone and for the county I live in. So, flash flood warning. Look out.
Yeah, hold on, because it's a nasty-ass storm. It hit here like a vengeance. Oh, my God. It's crazy. Green, black, wicked skies.
Well, I didn't think about that. You know, every now and then, now you're guilty of this also, Philip. We forget the cold, the wind. We forget the snow. We forget the people running to catch a bus, to catch the trolley. We call it the underground. You know, I forgot what white snow, when it comes down, is beautiful. cars run over, turn into a black slush.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying this because I want anybody back east to feel bad. I'm thinking, I really sometimes, my heart goes out to you because I forget how bad it is. How lucky we are to get out of Dodge. And if anything happens to Philip and I, if we're going to cross the border to Mexico, they ain't never going to get us. Oh, well. What you got, a good song on you somewhere? What you got on? Give me a good song out there, brother.
Let's see. All right, then we'll do a little Kid Rock all summer long. And we'll call it a night.
I think so. I'm hungry. Anybody out there tonight? I'm hungry.
Good night, everyone.